Now the point is, how do we reach that state of consciousness where at the right time the voice does speak, divine direction does come, and at every step protection along the way? And my answer to that is through the practice of meditation in many of its forms. And so my suggestion on the start of that process is this. We have just had a statement of truth, a scriptural statement, to the effect that thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. And as a sentence, as an idea, we probably know that we know the words. And the chances are that most of us here do know that passage. But it hasn't done too much for us, and it won't, until we catch the inner, or that which is called the esoteric, meaning of that passage. Only when it becomes a living thing within us. Now then, if I awaken in the morning, I consciously will take that statement and bring it to my remembrance before I get out of bed. And if by chance I jump out of bed and forget it, I'll jump back into bed again. Or I'll sit down in a chair. Or wherever I am, I will stop. I must bring to conscious remembrance this statement. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. And now, for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, I'm going to ponder that. I'm not going to repeat it, you know, like vain repetitions or affirmations. No, no, no. We're not going back to affirmations. But we're going to take that statement and ponder it. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace? Who is this thy? Thy grace. Thy grace. Yes, the Father within me. Yes, the Father within me. It's the grace of the Father within me that is my sufficiency in all things. The grace? What is grace? Ah, there's a strange word now, grace. Yes, we've said grace, but now what do we mean by grace? A parrot could say, thy grace is my sufficiency in all things, and never have anything happen. And I think very often we're parrots. Thy grace is my sufficiency. And what is grace? I don't know. What is it? Well, maybe the 2 or 3 minutes are up, and that's as far as I've gotten, but that's far enough. That's perfectly all right. If we've gotten to the point that thy grace means the Father within me, the next time will probably be 2 or 3 or 4 hours later. And again, I'm going to bring that to my conscious remembrance. And this time, ah, yes, I was on that word grace. I still haven't found out what grace is. What is grace? It won't take long until you begin to realize that you've heard of grace as the gift of God, or that you've heard of grace as that which comes from God without your earning it, or deserving it, or laboring for it, something that comes without your personal effort. Therefore, it is some activity of God, some gift of God's, something or other of God's, which is to be my sufficiency. Some activity of the Father within me is to be my sufficiency in all things. That's enough. That's fine. 2, 3, 4 hours later, we're going to bring that right back to conscious remembrance again. And again, we're going to ponder it. Now, from here on, we're on our own, because to each one of us, something different will unfold in that statement. It may come with a meaning entirely different than any I have ever known. I mean, it may come to you with a meaning entirely different than anything that has ever come to me. And that is one of the blessings of truth. Truth is infinite. And so there is no such thing as a definition of truth that is true. It would take every definition of truth in the whole world to be truth. And so, this statement may come to me with such force as to pour out the blessings of God upon me in health and wealth and opportunity, in forgiveness and overcoming. And yet, it may come to you an entirely different meaning, yet the effect would be the same. You would find that the grace of God would be your sufficiency in all things. Now remember this, that if you are wise, you will take this statement. You see, you can meditate in bed, sitting up, driving your car, while you're at work, housework, office work, selling work, buying work. It makes no difference what you're doing. You can always stop for 2 or 3 minutes, or you can go right on with what you're doing and do your meditating back here and your conscious thinking here. Oh, yes, you can be working with your hands and feet, and you can still back here in the back of your head be pondering this statement, this realization of truth. All right? You will find that if you will abide in that one statement of truth for a week or 2 or 3 or 5 or 6, that you will be meditating. You will be pondering, cogitating, communing with truth. And you will be fulfilling the greatest teaching that has ever been given to the human race. You will find this teaching in the 15th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, and you will find it elaborated upon in my new pamphlet, I Am the Vine. And remember this part of it, will you? It says in there, if ye abide in my word, and if you let me abide in you, then all of these harmonies will come to pass in your experience. Now, we have been cut off from God, from our good, for only one reason, that we have not abided in the Word, and we have not let the Word abide in us, and we have tried to live our lives humanly, with human values, with human supply. We have tried to live by bread alone instead of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you cannot live by bread alone. Bread is fine in its place, and so are vitamins, and so are calories, and so are minerals. They are all perfect in their place, but you cannot live by them alone. You must learn to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and then you'll find that you need much less of that other kind of bread and meat and wine and water. If you abide in me, in truth, and if you let this truth abide in your consciousness. Now, if you are taking a passage of truth 4, 5, 8, 10, 12 times a day, wake up in the middle of the night and take it again until that passage clarifies itself to you, you then will find that you are meditating, that you are keeping the Word alive in your consciousness, and you are keeping yourself alive in God consciousness. You are abiding in truth and letting the Word of truth abide in you. Now then, you may, after a while, come to a place where that particular passage loses interest. That can well be. And you may never come back to that passage again in your whole lifespan, or it may just remain away from you a month or a year or 10 years. But another will take its place through this meditation. It may be that that very statement itself will lead to another one. And the first thing you know, or we'll just take one to use as an example, it may come to you that it's in line with that one. He that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. Ah, He that is within me is greater than he that is in the world. The he that is in the world we know. That's lack and limitation, sin, sickness, and death. That's the he that is in the world, because that's the world that Jesus overcame. But now, the he that is within me that is greater than these things that are in the world. Now let's ponder that a little while. Who is this he? And then we come back again to the Master. The Father within me. That's the he that's greater. Or Paul. I can do all things through Christ. So it's the Father within, or it's the Christ. These are the things. These are the he that is within me. Within me. Not far off someplace. Not outside of us. Not in some other person, and surely not in a book. No, no, no. He within me is greater than he that is in the world. And so we begin again with ourselves. Pretty soon we stop blaming other people for our troubles. Pretty soon we commence to realize why an absence of the Word within us has been responsible for our errors, whether they're errors of omission or commission. Soon we will find that it is, if the other fellow was at all a channel or avenue of responsibility, we brought it on. Our own neglect of the Word of God, our own dropping away from this truth within. And so we begin with, my good is not dependent on anyone out here, or on anything, or on any condition. He that is within me is greater than any need I can have in the outer realm, or anything that has to be overcome in the outer realm. He that is within me, I must learn that my dependence is on that he that is within me, that which we in the infinite way call the infinite invisible. That which Paul called the Christ, that which Jesus called the Father within, that is the source of supply, the source of health, the source of harmony, the source of wholeness, the source of completeness and of perfection. He that is within me. Now, watch the miracle as a day, a week, a month, 2 months go by, and you have entertained this 6, 8, 10, 12 times a day in your consciousness and awakened once or twice at night to let yourself be filled with it again. There's only a short time until you begin to realize why here. I am told that he performeth that which is given me to do. He performeth that. And here I have been filled with a false sense of responsibility as if I had to do it. There is a he. Have I been depending on a he? Have I been relying on a he? Have I been resting back to let this he come through? He performeth that. The same Father within, the same Christ. He performeth that, and you find gradually a sense of responsibility dropping from your shoulder, a sense of personal weight dropping away, and gradually this consciousness develops. Why, there is a spirit in me. I didn't know it. My Bible has been saying it for years. There is a spirit in man. There is a spirit. Why, there is a spirit. Now I begin to feel it, or at least I begin to see its effect in my outer experience. Now you see, this is the beginning of meditation. This is the beginning of spiritualizing thought. Why? The spiritualization of thought means the dependence and reliance on an invisible as against heretofore a reliance and a dependence on person, place, thing, climate, or condition. Spiritualization of thought means abandoning one's reliance on the outer and one's realization that the spirit within is the law, substance, cause, and activity of all that exists without. The moment you begin to realize, well, yes, there is a spirit in me. There is something within me that is the activity that produces the activity in the without. that moment thought is becoming spiritualized. In proportion as our dependence on person, place, and thing lessens, and our reliance on the infinite invisible increases, in that proportion as thought becoming spiritualized, the layers of material belief are disappearing. And one of these fine days, you begin to hear that little still small voice as it says, I have never left you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Before Abraham was, I was with you. I will be with you unto the end of the world. You have neglected me. Now you see, the scriptures of all the world teach us, seek me. Seek me. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek me. It's in the Bhagavad Gita of India. It's in the way of Lao Tse. It is in the whole teaching of Shankara. It is all the way through the great master Jesus Christ. It is in every mystic in the world. Seek me. Seek me. And what have we been doing? Seeking money, fame, fortune, relatives, marriage, divorce, everything in the world out here, as if when we got it, it were going to do something for us. It won't. Seek me, because when you find me at the center of your being, you will have found the omnipresence and the omniactivity of God itself. And that God, the Christ, the presence of Christ within you, becomes the law of your outer experience. It becomes the presence that goes before you to make the crooked places straight. It becomes the power that multiplies loaves and fishes. It becomes the healing consciousness. It becomes it. You never can become it. It becomes it as an activity of your consciousness. But you see why I say meditation is the way. Pondering truth is the way. I hope during our series that you will study so well that it will be really an embodied part of your own consciousness. I am the vine, leave your nets, the 23rd Psalm, love and gratitude. Those pamphlets embody principles which, if we ponder them in this manner, until they become life of our life, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, they do become what the Master says, the meat. When I have meat, the world knows not. I could give you water. Certainly, this inner substance, activity and law, this Christ is really it. It is present, but we must remove the layers of material consciousness to let it come into active expression, and we do that through this form of meditation.